With the introduction of Dreadnought, the Royal Navy faced a bit of a problem with regards to its cruiser fleet. Small, protected cruisers that could be built in numbers, but were still considered powerful enough to form a fleet screen, were now only about as fast as the latest battleships. And the faster scout cruisers had little in the way of protection or firepower should they run into an enemy fleet screen, which might include slower and heavier ships. There was also concern about a new generation of fast German cruisers, which might harass British destroyer formations conducting blockade duties, or else range out on commerce raiding expeditions. And thus a new class of faster cruiser was needed. Initially, it was decided to slightly enlarge the existing scout cruiser template, keeping a speed of 25 knots and adding additional 4-inch guns. Up to 14 were suggested, which would give an 8-gun broadside, plus increasing the thickness of the protective deck. However, consideration of this sketch design led to a number of officers pointing out that, for a very small additional increase in size, the ship could also fit some 6-inch guns, which would be dramatically more effective weapons, while being just small enough that you wouldn't require full mechanical hoist systems to supply them. Versions with 2, 4, or 6 such guns were considered. In the first two cases, these would supplement a 4-inch secondary battery, and in the latter case replace it entirely, with a new 3-inch secondary battery in place instead. After some discussion, the design was eventually settled at 4,800-ton displacement, driven by 22,000 shaft horsepower with a design speed of 25 knots via 4 screws, except on one ship, which would experiment with 2 larger screws instead. Mixed oil and coal fueling would be implemented in part because if the ships were going to operate on long-distance anti-radar patrols, those far-off bases may not be able to supply enough oil, or any oil at all, for a ship that exclusively used that fuel. As it turned out, most ships were actually considerably faster on trials than the basic 25-knot design speed, one reaching over 27 knots. Armour consisted of a protective deck up to 2 inches thick, with gun shields introduced to protect the previously open mounts as well. This had an additional benefit beyond the obvious protection for the crew of the guns, as it also served to partially shield the ship's superstructure from gun blasts, which allowed the guns a greater degree of traverse. Armament consisted of a pair of 6-inch guns, 1 fore and 1 aft on the centerline, and 10 4-inch guns, with 5 per side. A pair of 18-inch torpedo tubes below the waterline, and some 3-pounder saluting guns were also included, with the first batch of 5 ships named for the lead vessel, HMS Bristol, and laid down in 1909. But the next year it was decided to considerably upgun the design, with the 4-inch battery being replaced with more 6-inch guns, for a total of 8. These would also be repositioned, with 1 pair being left on either side amidships, but the other 2 wing-mounted pairs being moved considerably fore and aft, respectively, the 4-mounted guns to atop a lengthened forecastle deck. This allowed 3 guns to fire ahead and 3 guns to fire astern, in addition to the 5-gun total broadside. The 18-inch torpedo tubes were also upgraded to 21-inch variants, and appropriate small increases to size, displacement, and engine power were made to maintain a 25-knot design speed. The lead ship for this batch of 4 was HMS Weymouth. And then the next year rolled around, and experiments had shown that even light armour was quite useful in defeating the kind of high-explosive shell that small cruisers generally fired. And so the design was revised again. This time the forecastle was extended still further to take up almost 3/4 or 2/3 the length of the ship, depending on your source, and the protected deck was thinned down slightly. This, along with other savings, plus the now expected fractional increases in size, displacement and power, meant that an armour belt with a maximum 3-inch thickness could be fitted. This set of 6 vessels had as their lead HMS Chatham, with 1/2 of those built going to the Royal Australian Navy as part of their newly acquired fleet unit. A final iteration showed up the next year, 3 ships led by HMS Birmingham, with the only major change being an additional 6-inch gun forward, where the existing centerline gun moved slightly so that now two single guns could be operated side by side. Another vessel, HMAS Adelaide, would later be built in Australia, heavily based on this design pattern. For the Royal Navy, this marked the end of the type's development, with the whole collection loosely grouped as a town class. Further work would go in a number of directions. An abandoned, larger Atlantic cruiser, much of whose work would later be folded into the Hawkins class, while more proximately the Arethusa class scout cruisers and the C-class light armoured cruisers both took strong elements of the town class's design with them. But there would be one final coda to the class. The Greek Navy ordered a pair of cruisers based on the Chatham subclass, but theirs were entirely oil-fired, which made them somewhat faster, and armed with 10 5.5-inch guns, one fore, one aft, and eight in-wing mounts, four per side. These would later be purchased by the Royal Navy as they were still under construction in the middle of World War I, and became HMS Birkenhead and HMS Chester. Every ship of the overall class, except for Adelaide, would see service in World War I, with a number of notable incidents. HMAS Sydney overwhelmed and destroyed SMS Emden when the latter was caught during her merchant raiding expedition. HMS Glasgow survived the Battle of Coronel and went on to avenge that defeat as part of the fleet at the Battle of the Falkland Islands. HMS Birmingham became the first ship to sink a submarine deliberately when it rammed U-15, and HMS Chester became famous for the last stand of a 16-year-old gunner, Jack Cornwall, during the Battle of Jutland. For small cruisers of between 4,800 and finally around 5,500 tons, they actually proved remarkably resilient, with only two ships of the class being lost, Nottingham and Falmouth, both of which were hit by a pair of torpedoes each on the 19th of August 1916, but both surviving this and staying afloat and beginning to make their way home, only then for each to be finished off in separate follow-up attacks, Nottingham eventually needing a total of three torpedoes and Falmouth four to finally be sunk. Surpassed in capability by newer cruisers such as the C, D, and E classes, the towns gradually went out of service over the course of the 1920s in the Royal Navy, as other ships like the County class began to be introduced and used up their tonnage. Although in the Royal Australian Navy, Brisbane wasn't sent to the breakers until 1936, and Adelaide was the last survivor, still around in 1949.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.